1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 13. When you see the word follow, follow his steps. You see Jesus saying to Peter, follow me. You see all through the Gospels, you see they followed him. They went here. Jesus, the Bible says in Mark, the first couple chapters, if you'll read that, Jesus left here and went to this other place and they followed him. The word follow, you see real life happening. You see practical living happening. See, we can get up and preach the Word of God. We can study the Word of God. And it can be something that we believe in theory. But whenever it comes to the word follow, it can't just be theory anymore. It can't just be something that we say we believe. It's got to be something that we live, something that we do. And a lot of what we're going to preach this next year, especially on Sunday nights, is going to have to do with that part about real life, the practical living side of being a Christian. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, the Bible says this, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And as we read this verse, we realize I can't just look at these verses. I can't just listen to this and think that this is just something for somebody else or this is something for me to study and not do anything about. This can't just be theoretical. It can't just be abstract. It's got to be something where I say, okay, I will live a holy life. There's some phrases there that I want you to notice. 1 Peter 1:13 again. The Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind. The Bible says, be sober. The Bible says, hope to the end. The Bible says, as obedient children. It says, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Then it says, but as he which hath called you is holy, saying, God, since God is holy, or like God is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And then lastly, it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. I want to hit those real quick. We're not going to be long tonight. First of all, gird up the loins of your mind. Get busy protecting your mind. Keep your mind pure. Your mind's your decision maker. It's the processor. It's the part of you that makes the decisions to do right or to do wrong. The word pure means to be separate from everything that does not belong. When I say the word pure, well, what comes to your mind? I think of pure gold. I think of pure oil. Did you think of pure oil? You're like, no. Okay, so I'm thinking of cooking oil, all right? You're still not thinking oil. All right, let's go somewhere else. I'm thinking pure water. I'll help you out with that. Brother Jim came tonight, and he always fills up a cup of water just in case I start choking when I'm preaching. And he said the water fountain water is a little bit cloudy, a little bit white and cloudy. I don't know why. I am telling you that, okay? But he said the sink was fine, so we gave you that one. I would much rather drink the water that's not the cloudy water than the other one. You know, I've been camping some. When I was in the Boy Scouts, we did a lot of camping. And sometimes you would drink some water that just didn't look pure. In fact, I've got a bag of some things I wanted to show you. I used to, when I was in the Boy Scouts, I'd do a lot of hiking and backpacking. Ziploc bags were my friend. I still like Ziploc bags. You can keep all kinds of food in them. But in the old days, I haven't really changed this bag that much since over 20 years ago. Whenever I was a wilderness guide backpacking, I've replenished a couple of the supplies, and you'll see probably why. So there's this bag here, and I would just keep everything in there. It's waterproof. That comes in handy when you got toilet paper in the bag. You don't want that getting wet when you're in the woods. So let me just open this bag up and just show you a couple of things that are in this bag. Of course, that's very important, and so was that. I had two of them. I had some Band-Aids in there. Duct tape. You need to have something to fix things with duct tape. We use that all the time. Here's some rope we would use. I liked having a Sharpie around. It works well with the duct tape. If you get lost, you can write a note on the duct tape with the Sharpie, tape it to something, somebody might be able to find it, and then maybe find you. Some more rope. This one got kind of unwrapped since last time I used this bag. This is a little fire starter thing in case your matches get wet. And let's see, we got some. There's a flashlight. And keep that in there just in case. Oh, this is what I'm digging for right here. This is called potable. I can never say it right. Potable. I think it's potable aqua. These are iodine tablets. And whenever you go hiking or camping or something like that, if you find some water and you want to drink it, you got a water bottle here, you fill this thing up with water, you take one of these iodine tablets and you, or a couple of them, you throw it in there, you shake it up real good, and you let it sit for a while. Something about drinking brown water, though. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. It's supposed to be good. It's purified. This little bottle of the instructions says it's okay to drink, but you're looking at it and you're thinking, first of all, the water's brown. And you look on this side of it, you just filled it up out of a stream. Hopefully it wasn't a stagnant little pond, you know, with the green stuff floating on it. Moving water seemed to be always better. You look at the bottom of it, and there's stuff on the bottom. There's dead bugs. There's rocks. There's sticks on the top. There's dirt in there. And you're thinking, this little thing is supposed to fix this so that I can drink it. So they came up with a solution for that, and they called it a water purifier. And we would keep these with us. The Bible says, be holy for I am holy. I'm going to use the word pure because it works well with this illustration. I want to challenge you tonight as we start this new year, and I'm almost done. I don't have time to preach this whole message really like I'd like to. But I want to challenge you to look at life like I might look at this water filter. I don't have the little hose that hooks up to here, so I grabbed another hose. Now, this is actually an air hose. And there's a dead spider in there. Look at that. I hope it's dead. So basically the idea is this. You've got two ends of this hose. You got the filter, and there's a little hose here. And you've got this other hose. I'm going to put this one away, but you get the idea there. It hooks on to this end. And you carry this with you in your backpack. And there's a really good reason for it. It's not just because you don't like drinking brown water. It's because inside the water, from the streams and from the ponds and lakes, there lives a very small microbial animals, plants. I'm not sure what they are, but they're called Giardia. How many of you ever heard of one of those little guys, right? How many of you ever experienced? Never mind. So I liked hiking in the woods. I like camping and backpacking and all that. It turns out farmers like to graze their cattle in a lot of the places where we would go hiking. Cattle don't have the highest of daily, you know, cleansing, or what would you call that word? Hygiene, thank you, standards. So they don't have the highest hygiene standards, and they would just stand right in the streams that they're drinking out of, and kind of like a little filter themselves, just kind of all the way through. And it was gross, and you don't really want to drink the water that the cows are, you know, using the bathroom in, but that's the only water that's out there. And because of that, and the deer and, you know, bears and all those other animals, the water is contaminated. It's impure. The way Giardia works is it's a little creature that multiplies very quickly. They like to live inside of warm, moist flesh. And they particularly like intestines. So if you get the Giardia and you drink them down and they move in, they multiply very, very quickly. They line your stomach, they line your intestines, and your body doesn't absorb fluids, and you just get very, very sick. And while you're out in the woods, it's not really good to be really sick, especially with Giardia. All right. So you've got this little guy. This is a water filter. The one we use is called a pure water filter. This one's called First Need. I've not used this one. I bought it at a garage sale for this very purpose. But here's what you would do. You'd stick one end into the contaminated water. Don't ever drink the water just right out of the stream, all right? It looks beautiful, looks pure and bubbly, and you'll get sick. So the idea is you put this side into the stream, and you've got the hose coming out of this one, and you put this one into your water bottle. There's a dirty side, and there's a clean side. What I wanted to do as a camper, as someone who's trying to not get sick, I want to make sure that the clean side and the dirty side don't touch. In fact, whenever we were done, we'd take this hose off, we would put it in a separate bag, and we would seal it. We'd put it away into our backpacks before we would ever mess with putting this away. This part could get dirty. It's pumping. It's a sealed tube. It's going to go all the way through the filter. But once it hits that filter, I want the water coming out of here to be pure. I want to do everything I can to keep these two from touching. So we developed a standard. We developed a standard on how we were going to use this little machine. We decided we're going to keep the clean hose, which this little guy was representing here, and we're going to keep the dirty hose, and we're going to try to keep them far apart from each other. We weren't casual about it, really. It was a pretty serious time when we were filling up those water bottles, because I didn't want to get that Giardia living inside of me. I didn't want to get sick. So we decided we're going to set a standard. That standard is going to be we keep this hose away from this hose. We pack this hose away by itself. We put this away in a separate place. And the further we could keep those two from each other, the better. We would pump the water in. It would pump all the way through. The water would come out, and we'd fill up our water bottle, and we would have clean, pure water. Now, I don't have time really to develop that completely tonight. We'll come back and we'll visit that again at some point. But here's my point. God said, I want you to be holy. And the only way that you are going to be able to do what God said to do is if in your life you will develop something that you can call whatever you want to. I'm going to call it a standard. In your life, you're going to need to develop a standard about where you're going to go, how are you going to talk, what are you going to watch, what are you going to dress, what are you going to listen to, who are you going to allow to influence you. There's so many areas of our life that if we just go through life and haphazardly, what would happen if you just haphazardly handled this thing? And you didn't really care if the other hose just kind of dripped into the lake or into the water or if it got contaminated. If you haphazardly handled your water filter, your purifier, you're going to find yourself getting sick while you're out in the woods. What happens if you haphazardly handle life? What happens if you just say, well, I'll just kind of live and whatever happens, happens. What I want to submit to you tonight, and we're going to come back to this, and on Sunday nights, we're going to spend some time, and I want to help you from the Word of God to define some standards for you personally from the Word of God. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the Word of God, and I'm going to teach you how to develop your own personal living standards. I am not going to tell you exactly what those standards ought to be. I'll tell you what mine are, and I'll give you a really good reason, I think, for why you ought to develop this particular standard and maybe what an idea of what that ought to be. But here's what I want. I want you as a church, I want you as an individual, to be able to base the decisions that you make, the standards that you are going to develop for yourself, I want you to base that on the Word of God. It should not be, if somebody asks you, well, why do you do that? The answer should not be, well, because my pastor said that's the way to do it. Now, that's not a wrong answer, but it's certainly not the best answer. The best answer ought to be, I don't do that, or I do this. I go to church on Sundays, I tithe. I go to church on Wednesdays, we go to prayer meeting time. This is how I dress, this is what I listen to, this is what I drink and what I don't drink. This is what I allow as influence in my mind, this is what I allow into my body. And the reason is not just because somebody told me, the reason is because it's right there. Follow his steps has to do with practical living. It's me saying, okay, God, I want to please you, I want to follow you, so I'm going to open up the Bible, and I want you to show me how. Follow his steps. So the Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind. Then he gives us some examples. I'll be real quick. He says, stay sober. Be sober. Don't fly off the handle. Make decisions based on principle instead of emotion, desire, or outside pressure. He says, hope to the end. We'll talk about remaining hopeful of God's grace. We're not going to spend time on that tonight. come back to that another time. He says, obey as obedient children. You know, many of God's commands are simple, but we choose to disobey them. And God says, just as we're talking about being holy, he says, I want you to obey as a child would obey. Be faithful to church, the tithing, soul winning. Flee fornication, for an example. Abstain from the appearance of evil. Just obey. Obey as obedient children. You don't have to understand why all the time. You don't have to see all the different perspectives and aspects. You just need to say, okay, God, I will obey. He says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. I just want to challenge you. Don't allow ignorance to cause you to build sinful habits. And I'm going to challenge you in this year. And this year, a big part of the reason we're preaching this is we don't want to fashion ourselves according to the former lusts because we're ignorant. I want to teach you from the Word of God. And we're going to spend time, we're going to go into the Word of God and hopefully not be ignorant about the very practical areas of following Jesus Christ as a Christian. The Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Listen to this, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. I feel a very heavy burden that I am, as a pastor, am going to give an account for the people of our church. And I want to make sure, I do my very best to make sure you understand from the Bible, not only to live right, but how to live right. Many churches have ignored some of the basic teachings of the Bible, and many of us, we've been ignorant and susceptible to sins that are so common among the unsaved. And Peter says, listen, don't allow yourself to be ignorant and to give in to those lusts that you might have given into before. He says, in all manner of conversation, be holy in every area of living, not just at church, not just in front of people. Here's some statements that people have made to me. One of them is this: I listen to all kinds of music, rock and rap and all these different things, but I only want to hear conservative music in church. Or I might wear that outfit out dancing. Surprisingly enough, I've had people say that to me. But I wouldn't wear it in church. Or I would never tell a lie. What am I going to say next? In church, right? My challenge to you is this. If we're going to live a holy life, as God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. I want to challenge you to, as the Bible says here, where were we at? Not fashioning yourselves. I lost the spot there. Oh, in all manner of conversation, not just at church, but in all of our life. And he says, be holy because God is holy. We were created in God's image. We please God when we imitate Him. Our greatest motivation for holy living is the fact that God is holy. There's a lot of motivations that you might apply, but really none of them are going to last. Saying things like, my dad's a preacher, or my mom plays the piano at church, or my husband's on the church staff, or my dad's a deacon, or I was raised in a church family, or whatever it is. Those aren't the motivations that are going to help you to live a holy life. We are to be holy because God is holy. And God commands holiness. We won't do it tonight, but there's some practical areas of personal holiness that we want to go to the Bible and we want to learn from the Bible. And Sunday nights, we're gonna be teaching and we're going to be preaching and learning. How can I apply the Bible to this area of my life so that it's not just something that I've heard somewhere or because mom or dad said or because the preacher said or Sunday school teacher said, but because the Word of God said it. I believe we'll be developing our faith. I believe we'll be growing as Christians. And we will be following His steps. So tonight, more of a telling you what we're going to be preaching about in the future. More of a really motivating you and hopefully trying to convince you that it really is worth it to live a life that is holy because God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Over this next year, I really believe God's going to do something and in our lives and in our church if we will follow Him. Father, thank you for letting us be able to be here this evening. Thank you for this challenge to be holy. Thank you for a challenge from Peter to follow the steps of Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we begin this year, I pray that you'd help us to do that. I pray that you'd give us open hearts. And I pray that we would be willing to accept the instruction from your word. We'd be willing to make adjustments and we'd be willing to make changes if need be. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to follow you. And I pray that you'd help us to live a life that pleases you. Father, I pray that you would be glorified and that you would be honored through our lives.